Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. I am Donovan Lippum, and I am the coordinator for the Living Waters program here at North Point. If you don't know what Living Waters is about, we offer classes, worship opportunities, and in-depth teaching and personal ministry to allow the power of the cross to just go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into our being, especially in areas of sexuality, sexual identity, sexual brokenness, sexual abuse, as well as other relational issues such as just who am I and maybe being shut down and not being fully activated as a man or a woman in who God's called you to be. And we're glad to have Dee Barnes with us today from Stone Mountain. She's a part of our broader program network. We have groups all over the country, in fact, all over the world, that Living Waters is bringing this healing opportunity. So her program and her ministry is out of Stone Mountain, Georgia. And she has her own ministry called His Wonderful Works, some resources out in the front. For those of you that this topic may be new, I just want to go ahead and let you know up front, this is sensitive, mature information that she's going to be talking about. So we're glad that you're taking advantage of the kids' programs. But we want you to be able to be present and open your heart. And we just want to honor you by letting you know up front, this is going to be important information. So I have some other things I want to tell you about what's coming up at North Point for Living Waters and our ministry, the Cross Current class we're going to be doing soon. But I want you to give your full attention to Dee Barnes. Dee, if you'd come on up, don't forget to bring that water, because I know at Living Waters we like to be thirsty. It goes fast.
I'm bringing it.
And so welcome, Dee Barnes. You're going to want to stay and hear everything that she has to share today.
Hello. Good morning.
It's
just so great to be here at North Point Church, and just a privilege to share about Living Waters, but also about the living water of Jesus and the Father who sent that to us to be free. And I want to tell you just a little bit about our ministry. It's called His Wonderful Works. You can find out more about it at HisWonderfulWorks.com. And we are a ministry that's dedicated to proclaiming the sexuality the way God designed it. Healthy family, healthy relationships, and healthy sexuality. And it's not always about sexuality, but most of the time our identity and who we think we are and who God has called us to be are a little bit different, and God wants to bring us into that truth of who we really are. And a lot of that sometimes comes out of past woundedness. So we share about how God's brought our lives in transparent testimony. So we share our testimonies about how God's brought us from brokenness to healing and help encourage others to come to that. But we also do teaching, in-depth teaching about sexuality, those issues, how to be healed from sexual abuse, shame of abortion, same-sex attraction. And we share understanding about same-sex attraction, what's behind that, so that the church can understand, well, God's word says this, and what happens when people seem to have same-sex attraction? Are they born that way? And our answer is no, you're not created with same-sex attraction, and God has reasons that he shares with us about what happened with that and how to come out of it. Transgender issues, we talk about that. And those things are not so easy to talk about in church, but we need to talk about those. They're being talked about everywhere, and the church needs to understand, all of us as a church body, how do we respond to that? What do we do? And how do we help others? And how do we love people who are struggling yet not waver on the truth? So I hope to share with you today about that more so you can understand and be strengthened in that and share the truth of what God has. At the end of the sharing time, we will open up the altar for anyone who wants to receive prayer for any of the things that we've talked about here. And the Spirit of the Lord is here today, and the Spirit of Jesus who's come to set us free. We'll talk about his death on the cross and why his resurrection is so freeing for all of us, no matter what struggle we have. So with that, I'll just start by sharing my story. And I was raised in Atlanta, Georgia, Conyers, Georgia, actually, and raised by a really good home. I'm not going to tell you a story that has a lot of bad abuse in the home, but what it does show is that even when we try our best, things just go wrong. We're born into sin. We try our best to raise family, and the enemy's always in there trying to distort things. So my dad was a great provider for the home. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. I was the oldest of three children. And I thought life was very happy. I was very much a tomboy, played sports. I was very good at that, and I enjoyed that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But for me, it was later as I began to grow, it was indicative of my disconnect from all things feminine and girl things. I just was so uncomfortable with things that meant girl or feminine. And as I grew, I just began to become more and more disconnected from things that were girl. But I was happy the way I was. I didn't think that there was a problem. And it's not so, being tomboyish is not a problem, but when the inside heart is very insecure about what it means, there is an issue there. So I played soccer, did great things, you know, having fun with my family. And my mom and her mom and the mom, my great-grandmother were very strong, opinionated women, very critical, very judgmental. And my mom so loved me. I had no question that she loved me. But her words and the way that my family said things caused me to shrink away and disconnect from those hard words. And, you know, generational sin, you go from one generation to the next repeating things unless the Lord comes in and heals that for you. As I was growing up, I was very sensitive. I cried really easily, and none of my family was emotional and sensitive. So I learned real quickly to stifle those emotions, that wasn't a safe thing to do or a good thing. And so I shut my emotions down, but I was very sensitive to the words that were said. So quite often when there's even much harsher abuse or just words that are said that are hard, we'll either internalize those words and it becomes part of us as self-hatred, or that the words are really against us, or we'll defensively detach and put up invisible walls. So I began to defensively detach for me from those words that I would hear my mom say or my grandmother. And in doing that, I was separating myself from the very good things she could impart to me. The Lord showed me this a lot later in my life, but I'm trying to sort of build a picture of why the attractions for same sex happened to me later in my life. So you can't put up walls of disconnect and block out only the bad. If you put up those walls, you block out all the good too. So my mom had so much good to impart to me, affirmation, validation, that I really put up walls to defend my little heart. And in doing that, I didn't get a lot of the things that I needed to be imparted. God sent a mom and a dad, husband and wife, to impart things to their children of who He is in a safe way. And because of the brokenness in our lives, marriages will be broken or relationships are broken. We don't always get that good picture. And a mom is to impart to her daughter what it means to be woman, and a dad to his son and the daughter blessing, but to the son is masculinity and a safe place. And when that doesn't happen in different ways, we become insecure in a lot of ways, and all of us are insecure. But for me and my femininity, I was very insecure in that. And same-sex attraction really has its roots in lack of validation, affirmation, nurture, and being able to receive that. So really what you're seeing in a same-sex attracted person is the need for those emotional needs that never got met for whatever reasons. Sometimes it's real, or sometimes it's very just perceived by personality that I didn't receive what I needed. So I'm growing up with this, almost this void of not having this affirmation that God intended me to have. So I'm growing up and everything's all good, I'm thinking. And at 14, I was molested by a neighbor. And that was hugely critical in my life. And I want to pause there in saying any kind of violation against our sexual purity and our bodies is extremely crucial for us to deal with that, no matter how slight. We might think, oh, it was just a small thing. If God's put that in you that, hey, this was an issue in your life, you need to ask Him more about dealing with that. It was minimal, this molestation, compared to a lot of people. I knew had really bad things happen to them, so I discounted that in a fact sense, saying, well, it really wasn't that bad. And I certainly didn't tell anyone. Like most things that happen in abuse, people aren't able to tell that. I went about my life and never told anyone. And, you know, the scripture says in James 5, if we confess our faults one to another and pray for one another so that we may be healed, there's healing that comes. And as someone mentioned to me earlier, I didn't clarify this in the service, that it says confess your sins, it's your own faults, but also those sinned against you. That sin against us has power to hold us in darkness. But if we can speak that out into the light, God will set us free in an immeasurable way, because He says walk in the light. And that's hard to do when you have a lot of shame from abuse. So that shame keeps you quiet. When I was 14, if I could have shared that with someone and they prayed with me, I probably would have had minimal effect from that abuse, because it was two or three times. To me, it was minimal compared to really grievous things. But any age that we can share that and someone pray with us, we're set free from what the truth in the scripture. So I wasn't set free from there. I carried that darkness. And what it caused me to be was more promiscuous sexually when I was growing up with boys at that time. things I would have never done. I would have never acted out sexually in this way. But what the Lord showed me years later was that in order not to be controlled, I would do things sexually to keep from being controlled, because that violation was, I was out of control. And not everybody has that response, but that was my response. And I didn't realize why I kept acting out sexually. So that acting out put me in a position to be pregnant at age 19. I had an abortion at 19 and never felt the pain of it, just went right on my life because I just had to go through that. And there's so much shame with abortion. I carried so much shame. And you know, the scripture says he bore our shame and our sorrows on the cross. We're easy to say, okay, we knew he bore our sin, but Isaiah says he bore the shame as well. And we carry that shame ourselves because we don't know to give it to him. Until I learned, Lord, I can give you this shame. I couldn't talk about the abortion for so many years because there was so much shame with it. And the world will tell you, oh, it's not a big deal. It will haunt you for the rest of your life if you don't get it out. It was 27 years after I was born again before I ever got deep healing for that abortion. That's how much shame there was. I talked about it, but really not got pain and healing. So programs like the Living Waters, Cross Current, allow safe place to work out these things and get healing. So I just encourage you to pursue that and find out more about it there. So at 19, I have this abortion. I go about my life. And if you see, my household was good. It wasn't this abusive place there, but my life just began to get worse and worse. The more I opened the door to sexual immorality, the more things happened. And at 15, I had become addicted to pornography at that point. So that just added more perversion. And the enemy just comes to steal and destroy who God created us to be. So after the abortion, I went on about my life, still not really walking with the Lord. I had been introduced to the Lord and to Jesus my whole life. We had been in church in and out. I didn't really know God, though. My family wasn't born again. We didn't really know who Jesus was. And at 15, my grandmother took me to a church, and I said, I believe in Jesus, which I did. And I got baptized, which only because they told me to. I really didn't understand it. But there's something that God honors. I went into that water, buried with him in baptism, came up to new life, and God did something in me. He honored all that I knew. That was all I knew. But the full gospel says, repent in full surrender, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. I didn't have that whole picture of the whole gospel. So therefore, I was missing the power of the Holy Spirit that helps us to walk out truth and be changed was not there within me. It says, receive the Holy Spirit. God says, ask for the Holy Spirit, and I'll give it to you. I didn't know all that. And so God honored where I was, and he never let go of me. From the time I was 15, I was acting out, doing really bad things, but God never let go of me. And that's his wonderful love for us, because he'll chase us down and keep going because I was his, even though that was just all I knew. But my life never changed. That infilling of the Spirit for us to be born again is what changes our walk. And my life never changed. I just kept sin after sin. So at 21, I found myself in a relationship with a woman who was married and had children. We became emotionally involved, which turned into a sexual relationship. And I would have bet you $1 million I would not have been in a lesbian relationship. I did not know what was happening. It happened before I could figure out, how did I get from here to here? And the emotional dependency in same-sex relationships is so strong. It's like an addiction and a drug. You just can't stop. I knew it was wrong when it first happened. I was like, okay, I can't do this, so I'm going to stop. Well, I couldn't stop. It's like adulterous relationships. Anytime the door's open to that, once you've opened that door, it is almost impossible to stop on your own. Only the Lord can save you and help you in that. And thank God he is there to help us. But I entered into this relationship that ended in divorce. So I have done so many things that I don't deserve anything from the Lord. And it's so amazing that his love is so wonderful. He doesn't repay us as our sins deserve. I don't deserve a family, a husband, or any children for sure. But it was enough. If he had just saved me and set me free, it would have been enough. But he not only did that, he said, I'll give you a husband who loves you and children. And it's like, well, you would really do that? You wouldn't count my sins against me and say, oh, well, you can't have this because of how you lived. How wonderful is our God that would love us enough to do that? And it's so wonderful that he would do that. But back up the story to this relationship I had that ended in divorce, which is so, so grievous that I was a part of that. That relationship ended, and I just began to embrace homosexuality. I started going to gay bars and just being a part of that whole life because it felt so right. Homosexuality and its attractions are not a choice. Acting out sexually is a choice for all of us, right? But that's attraction that was this unmet need in me. Homosexuality is a legitimate unmet need from puberty backwards, really. It's really from birth to the puberty age. That's where the needs get met. And when they don't get met, for whatever reasons, sexual abuse comes in, causes a whole other gamut of problems. We are not fully secure in who God created us to be and who our parents in God's perfect world would have been able to give us. So because that void is there for me, when I met another woman, it was like it just filled everything I was missing. And what I was missing was that affirmation from mom, from another woman. I needed that affirmation, validation, is why it feels so right. So it's a legitimate need, but it doesn't mean that just a legitimate need and you're born that way. It means something didn't go right, and we need to figure out what went wrong here. Transgender, the same way. There's just all of this void and missing pieces. For a young man, it would be his insecurity and masculinity, that he wasn't able to connect in a masculine connection where he was getting validation. Therefore, you go to school and you feel insecure, and it's like people start, you're not fitting in because you're not able to connect in that way. So God will come in and restore all of that. And in my life, he did do that. As I was in gay bars for a number of months and said earlier that I couldn't believe how many people there were that felt the same as I did. So it makes you think, wow, this is a whole lifestyle that people should do. And as someone mentioned earlier in the first service, there are maybe 1-2% of people who are same-sex attracted, but the world would make you think it's 20% or 25% to try to justify, oh, you're born that way. But it's so not true. There are reasons, and if you can understand that, you can pursue out healing. And we as churches need to be able to say that. God's word says this, but we need to love people who are struggling and understand they can't help the attraction, right? But they can also be healed. And our churches are on one end or the other, it seems, this time. Oh, God loves everybody, let's just not say anything. Or you're sinning and you're going to go to hell, you need to stop that in homosexuality. Somewhere there's a balance between grace and truth that says God's word does say this, that you're not born that way, and he loves you, and here's a way out. And that's what ministries like the Living Waters will help, and us just giving our testimonies of a way out. So I was in homosexuality 5 years before the Lord got a hold of me. And I met a girl who was in homosexuality, and she said, you know, it says this is wrong in Romans 1. And I was like, really? I never even read that. I looked up Romans 1, and I was like, oh, it does say that. I can question what it said. I realized it really does say that. Now, you know, now what do I do? But I continued in my life, but God was working in me. And one day, I looked at her, and I said, why do you feel like homosexuality is wrong, and I don't feel like it's wrong? And she said, have you ever had a personal relationship with Jesus? And I said, I don't know. And she said, well, if you don't know, then you haven't. And I was like, what is she talking about? I was, you know, only going after her because I liked her. I didn't know. I mean, but what she said just hit something in my spirit. And I was like, what is she talking about, this personal relationship? I've never heard of that. But something in me knew that she knew something I didn't know. And I began to just seek out the things of God again and go to churches and try to find out. And I was going to gay bars, going to churches. And what's so cool about that is that you may have people sitting next to you who look like they're lesbian, transgender, whatever they might be, and God's working in them. You just love on them as a church. Let God work in them. At some point, the door will open for a conversation, but I was sitting on a second row of a church with my other lesbian partner right in the middle. I could have been sitting there, but God was working. I didn't have a clue what he was going to do, but he really was working in me and drawing me to himself, because at 15, he never let go of me. He continued to draw me. And finally, at one point, I was at the end of myself, and I was like, okay, Lord, this lifestyle is horrible. My eyes began to be opened about how dysfunctional it was, and I wanted out, and I didn't know how to get out. And I just said, Lord, whatever it takes, get me out, was my prayer. And the next day, I was at a church that I just randomly picked to go to, and there was an altar call. God just, for the first time in my life, there was a prayer of repentance. It wasn't just come to the front and get saved. It was repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit, which is the full gospel in Acts 2:38, right? And it wasn't repent like stop sinning or you're going to hell. Repent means just to change the way you think. And I believe Jesus was saying, repent, come, change the way you think. Homosexuality is not how I created you. Change the way you think. Sleeping with your boyfriend is not the way I designed things. Change the way you think. Come into this kingdom that I have for you, and I will change your life. The act of baptism is just burying in my death and being raised to new life. But then you receive my Holy Spirit and I will change you. And it's so amazing that the gift of the Spirit of God for us. It says, receive the Holy Spirit. That word receive means to take. It doesn't mean a passive, oh, I just got the Spirit. It says, receive of my Spirit. And later in the scriptures, Jesus says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for it? It's an asking. It's like, oh my gosh, Lord, you would give your Spirit in me? And that's when we're born again and our lives begin to change. And so I just want to encourage you, if that's not happening in your life, there's more in the scriptures for you to walk in freedom, whether it's pornography addiction, whether it's drug addiction, it doesn't matter what it is, same-sex attraction, God will begin to transform us when we're born again. And it takes a walk. You know, I was born again and I was like, woohoo, I'm set free. I'm a believer now, I'm born again. And I was, but my spirit man was, but boy, all that flesh was still there. The sexual abuse, the abortion, the shame of it, not having been able to tell anyone. So there's a place where we have to walk out confessing that. And I said before in James, it says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. Celebrate recoveries, living waters, provide safe places, cross current to confess things that maybe you've never confessed. But today the altar will be open if God is speaking to your heart about something you just need to even ask courage to confess. Because it took me a long time to be able to tell someone that even when I was in the church that I had a past life of same-sex attraction. I thought, oh, I'm never mentioning that again. And someone who was teaching me said, if you want to be free from all that haunts you from it, you've got to tell somebody. And I was like, no way, I'm not telling anybody. And she kept telling me that. James says, you're going to be free. And as soon as I was able to do that with another woman in the church and her just love me and not go, oh my gosh, really? And the next day I saw her, she still loved me. And I was able to say, this is where I was. There was probably 80% of my healing because I was able to say that, because she loved me and just the best thing she could do. And God imparted what it meant to be feminine through godly women, and he will through godly men to those who struggle with same-sex attraction. And it's a beautiful thing in the body when can we can be safe, a safe place. And so, you know, I believe I'm about to end here and we'll open up the altar for prayer. But what I'd like to share is a word that I believe the Lord is speaking to the church, this church and the church at large today, a fresh word about the power of Jesus and the cross. The cross of Jesus is where his body took every single pain, every single sin that you might have committed, every sin that somebody committed against you, bore the shame on his cross, and his power of that and then the resurrection. It'd been enough if he'd have just died on the cross for us, right? But he didn't just leave us at that. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, because if you believe in me and you appropriate what I've given you, you will be in new life. And that's like, oh my gosh, we get to be resurrected from the dead ourselves. But also when he said, he went away, remember, and he said, I've got to go away because if I don't go away, I can't send the Holy Spirit. He sent his Spirit to live in us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory that changes us. And it was Christ in me that changed me little by little. And that process, I'm telling you in a short story, took a lot of time as God transformed me. But the more I was faithful by his grace to walk according to his word and not to say, well, because I have this attraction, I'm going to go act out on that attraction. God in his mercy helps us. And if we don't speak the truth to tell people that they're not born gay, if someone had said to me 23-5 years ago before I was born again that it's okay for you to be gay, act out homosexually, and be Christian, I would have embraced that and I would have joined some church that tells me that, and I would have missed everything God's given me. I would have missed the wonderful husband I have, the 3 children I have, because somebody would have told me that lie. And that's grievous to think that we as churches will tell people that it's okay to do that because of fear of maybe we don't understand it. But the truth is God's word is right and it never changes. And we've got to tell people there's hope and transformation. And you as believers can tell people now in your conversation, hey, I know somebody that's been changed. You don't have to condemn anybody, but you love them and you tell them the truth. And point them to ministries, point them to find out more about it yourself, because you're going to interact with someone who struggles with same-sex attraction. If you don't already, or if you don't feel that yourself, you're going to find in your life somewhere, and you got to, as a believer, figure out how you're going to answer that. And the answer is the Father's love in you, loving them and not judging them. There'll be a place at the altar for repentance today. If you've judged as a church, as a believer, those who struggle with that, we need to repent of that and ask God to give us his love for people who struggle. And, you know, I think it's time just to open up the altar. Donovan, if you want to come on up. I'm going to pray and Donovan's going to play some music a little bit. And, you know, I'd just like to ask you to stand with me so I could just pray with you and ask that you open your heart of surrender to receive what God has for you today. I don't know what your struggle is, but I know that everybody has one. And you may be sitting there going, I don't really have anything. I want to encourage you to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to do in me today? And maybe it's just repenting for judgments. Maybe it's, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just you need courage to share something you've never shared. And the altars open up today. There'll be a prayer team if you'll come up and to pray with you if you'd like. And I just think he's here to do a new work for everybody through the power of his Spirit. So if you could just close your eyes with me, I'll just begin to pray over you. Father God, I thank you, Jesus. We just invoke the name of Jesus and the power of your cross here today. The power of freedom, the power of forgiveness, Lord, and the power of your resurrection. Lord, I thank you that there's a safe place here today, that by your Spirit you would help everyone here to be safe, feel safe to come forward and enter into the freedom that you have for them. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd reveal to each one the need in their own heart that you desire to set free. You know, Jesus didn't just set us free to be born again so we could just live in heaven. He set us free to be free from all of the brokenness that happened in our lives so that we can walk freely in our relationships, that we can bless others and honor our husband or wife and our family members. Thank you, Lord.